My name is Spencer Hornsey. I am 15 years old. Today is July 1st of 2018, and I'm speaking with James Hornsey, who is my dad. We are recording this in Fayetteville, Arkansas. How did you find your current job slash career?
I had had some difficulties in college figuring out what I wanted to do as a career. I started out as an engineering student in college and ended up not pursuing that degree track. When I did get my undergraduate degree toward the end of the 1980s, the economy was in a rough spot and jobs were limited, at least some of the professional jobs that I believed that I was interested in. So I applied for graduate school. I applied for both the Masters of Business Administration, or MBA program, at the University of Arkansas, as well as for admission into the law school program. And I was admitted into law school, and I spent 3 years at the university and got my degree. And after I received my degree and after I took the bar exam, I became a sole practitioner in private practice. Now, because I had put myself through undergraduate school and law school in part with money I earned working in the nightclub and bar business, I knew lots of people, but I also knew that lots of those people had troubles, and they came to me for assistance, and that's how I ended up doing primarily domestic relations or family law, as well as criminal defense, and I've now been doing it for 24 years.
Are there any lessons your work life has taught you?
There are many lessons that my work life has taught me. Some of them are positive lessons. Some of them are negative lessons. Positive lessons are that I am constantly reminded that most people really are a lot alike as far as their backgrounds, the way they see things, the way they think about things, the way that they live their lives. I also have figured out that there are people who just can't seem to quite get their lives in order, which is why I have absolute job security. I will never have to worry about whether or not there's going to be another client coming in the office the next day or the next week. But the positive thing is that I've realized that even people who are accused of doing sometimes some pretty bad things in criminal cases, for the most part, you know, they're still pretty good people. There are some out there who are just not nice. They're incapable of respecting other people and living by what we would consider to be the rules of society. But for the most part, you know, most people who are in need of a criminal defense lawyer, they've just made a bad life choice. They've made a bad decision, and it's a fairly isolated deal. Now, one of the negative lessons I've learned is that, unfortunately, people who get in trouble tend to reach out to whoever they think can and will help them, and that sometimes it's hard to get paid for the experience that I provide and the services that I deliver and the advice that I give. And people seem to think that it's okay to look me in the eye and shake my hand and make promises to me, but then not follow through, and that's kind of disappointing. So that's been a hard lesson to learn about some people in many situations.
Tell me about where you grew up and what your childhood was like.
I was born on Barksdale Air Force Base in Bossier City, Louisiana, which is just outside of Shreveport, Louisiana. My dad, your grandpa, Jim Hornsey, was in the Air Force at the time and stationed at Barksdale. And your grandma, my mom, Joanne, lived in the Shreveport area. I have no memories of living in that area, but I certainly have lots of memories of going back to visit family there after we moved away. After about a year and a half, I think, we moved from Bossier to Rolla, Missouri, where your grandpa went back to college and finished his college degree. He was in the engineering program at the University of Missouri at Rolla, and we were there long enough to remember, or I'm sorry, long enough for him to pursue and obtain his degree. And again, I was so young at that point, I don't have any memories. We then moved to Evansville, Indiana, where your grandpa worked for a company called General Foods. He has historically worked in the food industry as an engineer, using the technical education that he got to lead and manage when it came to the production of food products. And those are the really first memories that I have of, you know, friends and neighborhoods. We lived in a trailer park in Evansville, Indiana, and it was not long after your Uncle Stephen was born. So we had baby in the house, and we were, this little family lived there. I can remember riding around on a pedal car in the neighborhood, and I can remember visiting the neighborhood, the neighbors who lived there. That was before I actually started school. Now, as far as clear memories of friends and activities, those start about the time that we moved to Suffolk, Virginia. Your grandpa had taken a job with Planters Peanuts. They had a facility in Suffolk, Virginia, and we relocated there. And I can still tell you the address we lived at, 106 Lakewood Drive in Suffolk, Virginia. I can still tell you the phone number. It's 934-0736. I don't know why I remember those things, but I do. Had a lot of friends. We lived in a nice neighborhood. Your grandma was a stay-at-home mom, took care of your uncle and of me. Your grandpa went off and earned a living. So, quiet little life. Had lots of friends, lots of neighbors. I have very positive memories of my childhood and, you know, good memories of my friends. And my first pet, well, my first mammalian pet. I went through a period of time there where we had a lot of little turtles and things like that. But I had a cat named Muffin that was our household pet, who, when we moved from Suffolk to Fort Smith, Arkansas in 1975, because your grandpa had been transferred with Planters to open up the new facility there, we traveled with all of our personal effects. We stopped at a couple of furniture stores in High Point, North Carolina, and other places, and bought new furniture and started a brand new life in Arkansas. And we didn't bring a lot of the stuff that we had in Virginia. It was a new environment, new house, new furniture, quite literally, brand new life. And I do remember that the first night we were in the house in Fort Smith, Muffin the cat got out. We never saw the thing again. Got away and ran off and never to be seen. But I guess the good news is at that point we started getting a series of dogs that we kept. But I can remember we came into Fort Smith in late April or early May of 1975, and I had about a month of school left. I went to Bonneville Elementary School, started making friends, some of whom I stayed friends with all the way up through the time that I graduated from high school, and some of whom I still have contact with and relationship with till today. But again, for the most part, living in Fort Smith, grandma stayed at home and took care of us, and your grandpa went off to work, and we had a very quiet, very typical life. You know, no problems, no issues, no drama, no trauma. Kind of boring, really, when you think about it, but you know, it was a good life. I have very positive memories of it.
Tell me about your prom. What did you wear? Who did you go with? What was the night like?
I took a young lady that I had been dating as a senior in high school, whose name at the time was Tammy Haga. And in fact, in this day and age of Facebook, not long ago, somebody circulated a picture of many of us from our prom pictures, so I have been reminded of what I wore. I wore a black tuxedo with a white tuxedo shirt and a baby blue bow tie and cummerbund, and I had these great big glasses that were pretty common and pretty fashionable at the time. In retrospect, I look at them and think, I wonder why it is that any of us ever thought that those were attractive or appropriate. But Tammy wore a blue dress that matched the color of the baby blue cummerbund and tie that I wore. And we had it, the prom was at what at the time was the Sheraton Hotel. It has since been torn down and they built other things on the property. But we had dinner beforehand and went and had a DJ and danced and had a lot of friends that were there, and we all were convinced we were going to head off and, you know, be something important in the world, and, you know, we were graduating seniors with our lives in front of us, and it was a, you know, very upbeat and very fun event.
Tell me your favorite memory of me.
Well, I have lots of memories of you. I can still remember how I felt when your mother told me that you were going to be on the way. But for many years, I'll say most of your life, sometimes there were some days that I, you know, had memories that were, you know, make me want to spank you. But my best memories, at least the ones that I look at right now, were after your mother returned to work from maternity leave. She didn't take very long off. We had you at the daycare that was directly behind my office. And I mean, I wore a path through the little trees and bushes that were between my office and the daycare because I could and did show up over there all the time. And the general arrangement at that time was your mother dropped you off in the mornings and I'd bring you home every day. And then some nights you'd stay with me and some nights you'd go back to her depending on what her work schedule was. But you were with me pretty much 4 days of five during the week from the daycare. And I still remember the look on your face and how it made me feel when I would walk into the daycare at the end of my day and you would see me. And you started out, you were a little bitty. You were still just, you know, in a carrier, but it, you know, moved on to the point where you were crawling and then walking and then doing whatever else and got mobile. But every time I walked in, your eyes would light up and your arms would reach up. And, you know, when you were tall enough or old enough rather to walk, then you'd stand there and arch your back and reach up and, you know, have me pick you up. And at that point I knew that everything was going to be okay for the rest of the day because I got to spend the time with you. But I've had lots of milestones. But those are memories that stand out. The way I felt when I got to come pick you up at the end of the day and get to spend that time with you.
Can you tell me a little bit about your childhood? What were you like as a child?
Well, this goes back to what I was saying a minute ago. You know, I have a younger brother, 3.5 years younger than I am. But both your grandma's family and your grandpa's family we were all very close-knit. We were all very involved, no matter where we lived, whether it be in Missouri or Indiana or Virginia or Arkansas. We spent lots of time going back and forth and spending time with the family in Louisiana or spending time with the family in Missouri, which is where your grandpa's family lived. Now, when I was just at home with your grandma and grandpa and Stephen, you know, we did things. We had a meal as a family every night. You know, we did. Grandpa would come home from work, talk about our day, talk about homework, help us with things that we needed. If there were projects around the house that we're working on, you know, we were expected to help out, even if it was to pay attention and hold the light so that we could watch and learn the kind of things he was doing. I spent a lot of time in the kitchen with your grandma, watching her cook and helping her cook, and that's kind of how I learned to do some of the things that I make now. We got together for a lot of family reunions. You know, on your grandma's side, we used to get together a couple of times a year at different places, and one of them was a place called Lake Bistineau, where we had camping and boating. On your grandpa's side, we had what we called the farm, the big lake, where we had fishing and boats where we went skiing, and we did a lot of water sports and water things, both in Fort Smith and when we got together. In fact, it sounds like the kind of thing that would get a parent in trouble now, but when Stephen and I were little, it wasn't uncommon for your grandma to take us down to the Ben Garin Regional Park. They had a big Olympic-sized pool, and she'd drop us off in the morning with $1 a piece, which was the 35 cents to get in, and then a little money for snacks. And she'd drop us off when they opened and come pick us up at like 5 or 6 o'clock in the afternoon. We'd spend all day there with our friends. When we didn't go do stuff like that, we were always, you know, going to a friend's house, or we were out running around doing stuff. This was in the day before everybody had cell phones and computers and the internet, and you know, we were doing things together as neighborhood kids and friends. So very traditional, very entertaining, very fun, very positive experience. I don't really have any bad memories of my childhood. I think that it all was part of how I came to be the person I am today.
Can you tell me about your grandparents or your great-grandparents?
Okay. Well, let's talk about the paternal side first. The Hornsey family came from England a number of generations ago, and my great grandfather, your great great grandfather, was Robert Preston Hornsey, who had a family in Illinois and had, I'm trying to remember I think he had 11 children, and then his wife died and he remarried and had 6 more children. So he had 17 kids from 2 different wives. And so there are 2 branches of the family that have a common ancestor in Robert Preston, but we have different, you know, great grandmothers or great great grandmothers for you. Your grandpa Lewis Hornsey he and his brothers owned a mining company in Potosi, Missouri, the Hornsey Brothers Mining Company, and he was one of those people who did not have a lot of formal education. He dropped out fairly early in order to take care of the family, but he was one of the best natural engineers that I ever met, and could work on anything or fix anything or come up with a solution to virtually any problem. And I have memories when I was a little kid, you know, 5 or 6 years old, of going out to the mine and riding around in the dump trucks and, you know, playing with what seemed to be toys, but were really big, you know, pieces of mining equipment, part of the mining operation. Your grandma raised her family. She was a stay-at-home mother to your grandpa and to his siblings. And we spent a lot of time with get-togethers with them, and then your grandma Dorothy, her parents were the Martin family, and we've been out there several times to the property for some of the Martin family gatherings, but it wasn't uncommon for us to spend sometimes 2 or 3 weeks out there during the summer. By we, I mean your Uncle Stephen and I would go. Sometimes your grandma Joanne would go and stay. Sometimes we would just go with other cousins and stay. But they were all hardworking people, you know, very classic and conservative Midwestern values. No, big families, big gatherings, lots of family time. Same kind of thing on your grandma's side of the family. It was the Dixon family, primarily, the Harper family. The family grew up, there was not a lot of money. There was, if they didn't hunt it and kill it or grow it, a lot of times there wasn't any food available. Of course, we've got family stories about how it is that we've got a great-grandma who was abandoned on the side of the Trail of Tears as Cherokee and taken in. And it's been certainly stated for a number of years that we have bloodlines directly back to the Cherokee tribe. I don't know whether that's true or not. I haven't seen any proof of that. But you know, we did a lot of things with both my grandparents and my great-grandparents growing up that we were very involved and very active with family gatherings.
Do you feel like your job is your calling? Why or why not? If not, what do you believe is your calling?
Well, I don't know that I have a calling. I like to think that I'm pretty good at my job. I've established a good reputation. I think that my ability to be able to understand and interact with people has helped me. I cannot envision doing anything else right now that to spend my time or to earn money. And I think that this is probably where I was meant to end up with my personality and my skill set. And I started out, like I said, as an engineering student, and I don't know that I would have been able to stay with that. But every day that I get up and go to work, I get to deal with somebody's problem. It's usually a new problem. I get to feel like I've genuinely helped people. And if that's what a calling is, that you get a sense of job satisfaction, then yes, that's what it is.
What was your relationship like with your parents?
For the most part, very positive. The circumstances were that we knew the rules and we were expected to comply with the rules, and if you didn't comply with the rules, you got in trouble. And you know, my family was grew up in both with the attitude and at a time when you know corporal punishment was perfectly acceptable and expected. In fact, many times when we moved around, you know, we planted willow trees in the backyard, and if you misbehaved, you had to go cut your own switch off the willow tree and bring it inside for the spanking you were going to get for not doing what you were supposed to do. Of course, this was also at a time when we got paddlings at school, and if the neighbors caught you doing something, you know, friends of in the neighborhood, if their family thought you needed to be disciplined, you would as well. But my parents provided above and beyond. I never felt deprived or never felt like that there was something that they could have done or should have done that they didn't do. This was an environment. I've said this, I think, to several of the other questions. They're very family-focused. They took care of their own, but my mother also took in strays. it was really almost an odd thing if we were the only people seated at the dinner table on a Friday or a Saturday night, because all of my friends were welcome at the house. Many of your grandma and grandpa friends were welcome at the house. And we would have people in and out. Our house seemed to be the place where people gathered, because it was a comfortable environment. They were welcome. You know, the generosity of both your grandma and grandpa is something that is rarely matched. And that's what I was exposed to and what I grew up expecting other people to do. You asked me a question a little while ago about things that I'm disappointed by in my profession. And sometimes what I'm disappointed by is that people that I am representing don't seem to be as focused on taking care of their kids and their families as the environment that I had when I was growing up.
Tell me about your siblings. Were you close to them?
Well, there's an old joke about, you know, nobody gets to beat up my little brother but me. And that was kind of the way it was. I can remember when I found out that, I guess, and I realized that I was getting a baby brother. Your grandma went in the hospital, and my Aunt Betty, your grandma's sister, came and stayed with me for a while, but then I went and stayed with your grandma and grandpa, Dorothy and Lewis, in Potosi while there was that transition. And I can still remember when they brought Stephen into the house and I met him for the first time. It was at your great grandma and grandpa's house there in Potosi. But it was 3.5 years age difference. We shared a bedroom for a number of years growing up, and then we were moved into separate rooms as we got a little bit older. But we've always gotten along fine. We still maintain contact to this day. Positive memories of doing things with him, but that was in part because the family always did things together. It wasn't just the two of us, it was all of us, our cousins, our aunts, our uncles, grandparents, whoever else. Now, the one thing I will tell you is that, you know, Stephen was both the fashion plate and the social butterfly. He had to have all the clothes labels. He had to wear the Izods and the polos. And he had lots of girlfriends growing up, and it wasn't any big deal. We usually didn't bother learning the names of them until after they'd been around for a week or two, because we didn't know whether or not they were going to stick around long enough for us to have to even worry about that. And if he broke up with one in the morning, he'd have a new one by the evening. So that was one of the things that I had to deal with as his brother, was all of the constant parade of girlfriends in and out and around.
All right. Thank you.